Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Way back in the 1980s, when I was a young preacher, and I would drive home from church Sunday afternoon, all the parking lots at the malls were empty, all the stores were closed. That's the way it used to be in America. Times have changed. Now, when I drive to church on Sunday morning, I drive through these big soccer fields. Sometimes they're filled with children doing intramurals, and I think, shouldn't these kids be in church? Alex de Tocqueville was a French historian in the 1800s. He came to America to study America, and he wrote, "I never saw the like. I went over to America, and I found a people who on one day every week close the gateways of their traffic. They leave the hammer unused upon the anvil. They draw chains across the street where the churches were worshiping, a whole people resting and worshiping God." And someone else said this, "Our great-grandfathers called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandfathers, the Sabbath. Our fathers, Sunday. Today we call it the weekend." Atheist philosopher Voltaire, writing in France in the 1700s, quote, "To destroy Christendom, you must first destroy the Sabbath." What I want to do in this program is ask the question, how did Jesus observe the Sabbath? And then ask the question, are we New Testament Christians required to keep the Sabbath? The answer might surprise you. Would you take out your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 2, and let's pray. Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. This can be kind of a confusing topic. We pray you give it clarity and speak to each of us now about the health that comes from the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23. "And it came about that as Jesus was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along, they were picking the heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, 'See here, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?'" The Pharisees were the Jewish religious leaders. They were very picky on legalism. So here's my first point today. Beware of adding things to God's Word. Was it against the Old Testament Jewish law to harvest your crops on the Sabbath? It was. Was it against the Old Testament law to pick grains off of some wheat and eat it? No. Those were picky additions added by the Pharisees. So the first lesson I hope we get is, Christian, beware of adding anything to the Scriptures. I know a Baptist pastor, and in the constitution of his congregation, it says you can't drink liquor and be a member of our Baptist church. Well, he said his point was, then Jesus, who drank wine, couldn't be a member at First Baptist? Beware of adding things. Now and then somebody says, well, you can't be a Christian and wear makeup. You can't be a Christian and play cards. You can't be a Christian and go to any movies. You can't be a Christian and dance. Well, any of that in the Bible? Beware of adding things to Scripture. I was interviewing an Assembly of God pastor. The Assemblies of God, Christian denomination, they can be very on fire for the Lord. But I asked him, can you have a can of beer or a glass of wine and be an Assemblies of God pastor? And he said, oh no. I thought, could Jesus be an Assembly of God pastor? My point is, beware of adding things to the scripture, and especially beware of groups that add a whole book to the scripture. You know about the Mormons. It's a cult. They do not believe in New Testament Christianity. They've added a whole new book called the Book of Mormon. Beware of the Church of Christian Science. It's not a Christian church. And they add Mary Baker Eddy's Science and Health and Key to the Scriptures. Jehovah's Witnesses are big on their Watchtower magazine. Don't add anything to Scripture. Look at verse 25. And Jesus said to them, to the Pharisees, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered into the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests, and he gave it also to those who were with him." Here's the next lesson, and I say this a little cautiously. In case of emergency, the law is somewhat flexible. The Old Testament law is somewhat flexible. Technically, David did break the Old Testament law when he ate the priest's bread. That was only for the priests. But I think Jesus is saying here, have some mercy. This was an emergency. And if on a rare occasion you have to break the letter of the law to keep the spirit of the law, because the spirit of the law is that the Sabbath is for our health. We don't serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath serves us. Then so be it. I don't know if you've seen this Seventh-day Adventist preacher on TV, but he preaches that you have to keep Saturday as your Sabbath, because God gave Saturday as the Sabbath to the Old Testament Jews. And if you worship on Sunday instead of Saturday, then you violated Scripture and you've received the mark of the beast. Well, my response is there is evidence in the New Testament itself of these Jewish Christians starting to worship on Sunday instead of Saturday. Why is that? Something pretty big happened on Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, and it was such a big deal that they altered some of their worship. Now listen, if Seventh-day Adventists want to worship on Saturday, no problem. But if they teach that you have to worship on Saturday and not Sunday, or maybe you're not saved, and I'm not saying they do that, but some are very legalistic. If they teach that, that's cult-like. You don't add anything to the cross. Read the book of Galatians. The Galatians are trying to add circumcision. Nope, says Paul, the cross alone, not Sabbath keeping, not circumcision. No Old Testament law saves us. It's only the cross of Christ that saves. Again, look at verse 27. And Jesus was saying to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Here's the next lesson. The Sabbath is for your health. Resting one day a week is for your health. Again, when I was little, everything was closed on Sundays. Gave you time to go to church, to enjoy your family, to just rest, to enjoy life. And I think America, ever since we kind of got rid of the Sabbath, the divorce rate is up. I think we got more probably mental illness, stress, heart attacks. I think a lot of things would fall into place if we just went back to taking one day a week when we rest. And it takes crazy workaholic Americans to say, "You mean I can't work every single day of the week?" Why would you want to? God gives you one day of rest a week. Take it. Enjoy life. There's more to life than work. I went to a pastor's conference years ago. Well, no, let me tell you this first. When I was a young preacher, the old white-haired Lutheran preacher at our church said, "Tom, your day off is Friday. You have to work on Sunday, but so your Sabbath, your day off is Friday. I don't want to see your foot in the church. I don't want you to work on your Friday Sabbath, because you need one day of rest a week." And, you know, That was a good thing for me to hear. Do you know how many pastors burn out and leave the ministry within 5 years? A lot. And I think it's because a lot of them aren't keeping the Sabbath. I went to a pastor's conference years ago, and they talked about keeping your Sabbath. Take one day off a week to rest. And I remember a pastor got up at the conference, and he said, you know, I need to confess a sin. I work every day of the week. And why do I do that? My pride. I don't think God can run the kingdom of God without me. And he said, I repent. I'm going to start observing a Sabbath rest. Take one day of rest a week. I mean, if you're watching the show and you work every single day of the week, that's hard on your health, and I think it's hard on your family. My dad was a workaholic. It affected us kids. Look at verse 28. Consequently, Jesus said, the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, is Lord even of the Sabbath. The next lesson, Jesus is Lord over the law. Now, Jesus is God. He gave us the Old Testament law, so he's not going to contradict what he gave us in the Old Testament, but parts of the Old Testament he is going to fulfill and render obsolete. For instance, the Old Testament Jews had to kill lambs when they sinned and go to temple. We don't have to kill lambs today when we sin because Jesus is the Lamb of God who fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial laws. The Old Testament Jews couldn't eat pork and various foods. God wanted them to be distinct and different from the nations around them. Today, Mark chapter 7, Jesus declared all foods clean. I'm free to eat pork in the New Testament. Well, what about the Old Testament Sabbath laws? Am I required to keep those? This is going to kind of throw you. I don't think we are required to keep the Old Testament Sabbath. Let me show you the verses. From Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Paul writes this, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Notice what Paul doesn't do there. He doesn't say, you've got to keep the Sabbath. Or look at Colossians 2. Paul writes, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are the shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Paul is saying, don't let somebody judge you if you don't keep the Old Testament Sabbath. Now, people say, yeah, but keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. It is, but it's the one and only one of the Ten Commandments that is not reiterated in the New Testament. Having said that, I still think you're wise to keep the principle of the Sabbath. One day a week to rest and enjoy God. So let me close and just give you some thoughts on how to keep the Sabbath as a Christian. And I'm saying, don't do this legalistically. I don't think this is required for your salvation, but your health will be better. Here's the first thought. Enjoy the gift of one day's rest a week. A Jewish rabbi told the story of seven brothers. Six of them went off to work every day, and the seventh stayed home, kept the fire, cleaned the house, made the dinner. Well, one day the brothers say to the seventh, you need to start working too. You come out and you go. Well, they all went off to work that day. They came home. The house was dark, cold, dirty, no food on the table, and they quickly learned, okay, you stay home and you take care of the house. You get the point? We need one day a week that's different than the rest, where we rest, we enjoy God, and if you take that away, it kind of wrecks the rest of your week. So take one day of rest a week. Second way to keep the Sabbath today, enjoy on this day the pleasure of life, which is God. I had a Baptist pastor say to me, Tom, tell your people the Sabbath is not so much a day of don'ts. It's a day of the great do. Do go hard after the greatest pleasure in life, which is God. On the Sabbath, enjoy God. Read the Word. Go to church. Worship. Pray. Enjoy your family. But the Sabbath is the day of health for your health. And if you do that, here's what Isaiah 58, now this is Old Testament, but the principle is good. Listen to what happens when we observe a Sabbath. Isaiah 58. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Again, I don't think we're required to keep the Old Testament Sabbath laws, but if you keep the principle of the Sabbath, you'll be blessed for that. I mean, I'm concerned about you if you never take a break. Your life will probably not last as long. Next thing to say about the Sabbath. Do not exclude works of charity and mercy on this day. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. Got him in big trouble with the legalistic Pharisees, but he did it anyway. It's okay to teach Sunday school on Sunday, to visit your ailing aunt at the nursing home on Sunday, to be an usher. It's okay to do works of mercy on Sunday. And one last thought. Accept, when possible, Sunday as Sabbath to testify to Christ's resurrection. You know, all the earliest Christians were all Jewish, steeped in Saturday is the Sabbath. Well, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they're worshiping on Sunday, the first day of the week. What happened? What big thing must have changed these Jews? Well, Jesus rose from the dead. So if you have to work on Sunday and you can't go to church, okay, but then find a Wednesday night worship service, or a lot of churches have Saturday night worship services, but every Christian needs to be in a church. I close with this. A man was driving through Pennsylvania one day, and all of a sudden he comes across a field filled with mules. He stopped his car, went up to the young man who was taking care of the mules, and he said, "You know, I've never seen this before. Where did all these mules come from?" And he said, "Oh, sir, these are the mules that work the mines. They're underground in the coal mines 6 days a week. And if we don't bring them up into the sunlight on Sunday, they'll go blind." Do you get the point? Listen, we all need one day a week to worship the Lord, draw close to the Lord, rest. And if you don't, you can go spiritually blind. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question from a viewer. How do we decide when to leave a congregation? My wife and I don't believe in divorce and remarriage or cohabitating couples. Do we leave our church over this, or do we just agree to disagree? We don't want to be continually church hoppers, but neither do we want to stay in a church that tolerates almost everything.
And, you know, it sounds like they're at a church where they have couples who are living in sin and nobody ever talks to them about it. Or people get divorced and you can get remarried and the pastor will do the wedding. And personally, I'd rather go to a more serious church that takes those things seriously. Mm-hmm. So I'd be looking. On the other hand, you cannot find a church that believes exactly like you do. So a lot of times you got to put up with stuff like if the pastor preaches something that isn't quite what you believe, if it's not huge and major, you live with the disagreements. But there you go.
Okay. Another question. I have been a traditional Lutheran my whole life, but now my church has redecorated the sanctuary and put a band in front. Men wear their hats in the band, and I am angry. I do not feel comfortable going there. My son says things have changed. Am I an old fuddy-duddy? Should I change?
Well, there's an example. So they redecorate your church. I don't think that's a reason to leave that church. Mm-hmm. So the worship band wears their hats. I don't think that's a reason to leave that church. Sometimes it can be a big deal in a church if they change the color of the carpet. are you kidding? But mm-hmm. In a church I used to serve, that was a big deal. So just let's major in the majors, not in the minors. And I think those would be, on the other hand, nothing's wrong. I love the old hymns and traditional mm-hmm. worship. If she loves that, lots of churches still have that. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
The church I attend wants to ordain a woman as a pastor. What does the Bible say about this?
A good friend of mine, Lutheran pastor, conservative, he doesn't seem to have a problem with women preaching over adult men. Mm-hmm. I do. And we've got Jesus choosing 12 male disciples mm-hmm. to begin with. But then there's the very clear teaching of 1 Timothy chapter 2 that says women can teach women, women can teach children, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I don't let women preach over men. It's not the way God made us. Mm-hmm. So I personally could not sit under the preaching of a woman pastor. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I recently had to divorce my husband due to his continuous adultery, porn addiction, and extreme financial, emotional, and spiritual abuse. He claims to be a man of God. What do I do or say to him?
Well, if he claims to be a man of God and he's committing adultery, that's a problem. Or let's say he's not committing literal adultery, but he's got a porn addiction, he's not getting help. He needs to get help. Mm-hmm. And his soul's in trouble. 1 Corinthians 6 says, adulterers do not inherit the kingdom of God. So he needs to repent of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, he's probably not going to listen to her as the wife. My guess is she's already probably given him an earful. Mm-hmm. So she's divorcing him. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, don't get divorced, but if you do, stay mm-hmm. single. Mm-hmm. So my hope for her is she's not going to go find somebody new, because if you get divorced and Jesus says you marry somebody new, you're committing adultery. Mm-hmm. So my guess is he knows what he's doing is wrong. So then you pray, and you pray, and you might have to pray till he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. God never changes, so why do churches worship on Sunday when God said to worship on Saturday?
This is the teaching of the Seventh-day Adventists. You have to worship on Saturday because the Old Testament Jews worshiped on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Well, that was their Sabbath. It was in Saturday. And Mona, years ago, I had to do a debate with the Seventh-day Adventists. It was me and him in front of a large crowd. And so I really had to study this. He was so insistent, you have to worship on Saturday. And I said, that was given to the Old Testament Jews. It wasn't given to the New Testament Christians who started worshiping on Sunday because of the resurrection. And he kept pressing. And finally I said to him and the crowd, what we call today Saturday, you've got about a 1 in 7 chance that that's the original day God rested on when he completed the world in Genesis chapter 1. And yes, God rested on the seventh day. Was that Saturday? You know, I think a 1 in 7 chance. So, again, if you want to worship on Saturday, fine. But the New Testament believers, and for 2,000 years, we've worshiped on Sunday pretty much to witness to the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know someone who is a Christian, and she is part of a group which strictly rests and worships on Saturday because the Jews did. They also keep all the Old Testament festivals. Is this necessary?
I have a friend whose daughter is in a group where they are very big on you rest Saturday night. It was Friday night, I think. You observe the Sabbath. You've got to keep the Old Testament festivals like, you know, booths, the Festival of the Booths. And you don't see the New Testament Christians observing mm-hmm. the Old Testament things because Jesus fulfilled them. Jesus is the new Passover. Mm-hmm. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. We don't have to observe the Passover anymore. So I think there are some Jewish Christian groups that are very big on that, but I don't think we're obligated to keep the Old Testament mm-hmm. festival laws.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sabbath keeping is one of the Ten Commandments. Are you saying we are not to keep it?
I don't think you have to keep it on Saturday. And Mona, I don't see the New Testament reiterating that we have to keep the Sabbath. Again, like I said in the sermon, you're smart if you do. It's healthy to do. I think every Christian should have one day a week where you go hard after God. And so I'd need to probably relook at what I do on my day off. It's not a Paul says, I'm worried about you. You're keeping festivals and Sabbaths, I worry about, because they were trying to get back under the Old Testament law.
All right.
Yeah.
Did Old Testament Jews worship on Saturday or just rest?
Well, that's the other thing. The Sabbath in the Old Testament, it's the day to rest. Mm-hmm. Now, by the time of Jesus, they have the synagogue, and they are having some worship services in the synagogue by the time of Jesus. But initially, it's not really a day to worship so much as to rest. Yeah.
Okay.
We got some time there.
I am not a member of a church, but I enjoy your TV program. Is it necessary for me to go to church?
It is. The Bible says, Hebrews 10, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Every Christian is to be part of the church. The TV set, me, are not your church. Mm-hmm. Every Christian needs to be part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
My wife and I have attended our church for years, but we haven't joined it yet. Do we need to actually become members?
You know, I think you should. Now, you know, your mom and dad, my mom and dad, that older generation, World War II, and they were committed to their country, mm-hmm. to their God, to their church, and overwhelmingly, those people just didn't attend church. They joined the church. And I think, why not? We all need to, we have to go through new members class. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Refresh your knowledge of the Christian mm-hmm. faith. So I think, I'm not going to be legalistic on this, but everybody needs to be part of the church. Well, what if you don't technically join it? Well, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So get involved, right?
Absolutely.
How can I find a good church? What should I look for?
Well, let's see. You need to, of course, make sure you believe in a church. You have a church that believes in one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You want a church that teaches Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. You want a church that teaches heaven and hell exist. You want a church that teaches Jesus is the only way of salvation. You want a church that teaches Christian morality. Sex outside of marriage is wrong, abortion is wrong, homosexuality is wrong. If you go to a church and they line up on that, that's a pretty good church. Mm-hmm. If you go to a church and, well, everybody's going to heaven, or gay sex is not wrong as long as you love each other, that's not a church you want to join.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a quick question here. You've been asked if smoking cigarettes is a sin, and your response is no, but it will get you to die sooner. Is that really your opinion?
Yeah,
Is not our body the temple, the holy temple of the...
Well, yeah, so I don't think it's good to smoke. I'd stop. But does smoking keep you out of heaven? I think that would be a legalism I wouldn't want to go to.
Yeah.
We're saved by the death of Christ, not whether you smoke or not. Mm-hmm. But I think you're smart not to smoke. Well, everybody, there we go. God bless you. Go to our website if you want to see more programs.
Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Thanks for joining us today. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.